This is Future Tense for September 2nd, 2010. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. Apple is getting social. Yesterday, Apple's CEO Steve Jobs announced that his new version of iTunes will have a social network built right in. It's called Ping, and Jobs says folks will use Ping to see friends' music downloads, follow their favorite artists, and review concerts.
You can get as private or as public as you want, and the privacy is super simple to set up. Anyone can do it.
Simple, easy to understand, and it keeps out the riffraff. That's Apple's basic business philosophy. Techies call Apple's iGalaxy a walled garden. The World Wide Web is open, kind of messy, if not scary. You don't always know where to go or who to trust. A walled garden is a place that keeps out the undesirables.
They're not really looking to, I think, shut down anyone's creativity or public expression. They're just looking to create this sort of almost an eco-dome where they kind of control everything in it and can make sure it's an optimal experience for their users, who are largely mainstream consumers, who are not super techie people, and who just want things to work.
That's Dan Ackerman, a senior editor at CNET.
So when you have that walled garden mentality, you know, it's great on one level, especially for casual consumers who don't want to mess around with a lot of technology. But if you're a big fan of kind of experimenting and installing new things and playing around with stuff and figuring out how they work, Apple's not really your friend in that department.
Jim Lauterbach's that kind of person. He heads the internet TV company Revision 3. And he says once companies like Apple get us hooked on their gear, then we're stuck buying content from them. And he fears these walled gardens will lead to price hikes, poor customer service, and could fragment the web. So earlier this year, Jim vowed to avoid all of them. Jim, how's that going?
Well, I haven't really missed any of the proprietary formats that are out there.
Are you at all concerned if you continue on in this walled garden-free life that some of these gardens will become so lush and beautiful that you will really be left out because you can't get in?
No, I don't think so, because I think in the end, consumers end up winning no matter what. I mean, Apple tried to do this with music, but they had to relent and open it up so that you could buy music from Apple that could be played on other players. So I think, every time we see people try and do these lock-ins, in the end, people find a way around it and the consumer ends up winning and it ends up opening up. Now, it may take 5 years, but it'll happen.
In the meantime, that pinging sound, it's Jim's friends talking about music behind the wall in iTunes. Other stories we're following at futuretense.publicradio.org. RFID tags for tots. Contra Costa County in California is facing budget cuts, so it's turned to RFID tags to save some money. Instead of using staff to make sure preschool students do things like show up for lunch, they'll track students using chips embedded in school jerseys. The automated tracking system cost $50,000 and was paid for with a federal grant. Officials say it's not replacing staff, but it will help reduce their hours and save cash. And in Japan, a seaside resort is teaming up with Konomi Digital Entertainment to market a vacation getaway for young men and their virtual girlfriends. Fans of the online game Love Plus can scan barcodes scattered around the resort and call up images of their online paramours. They could even snap pictures together on their cell phones, and one hotel has installed these barcodes in their bedrooms. If you caught yesterday's show, this may sound familiar. That's my heart, recorded and amplified by an iPhone app. When I shake the phone, I get a cardiogram I can email to my doctor. Cell phone apps like that one are blurring the distinction between medical devices, which are strictly regulated by the FDA, and consumer electronics sold openly online.
I know a number of investors who are interested in some of those businesses are kind of nervous.
Bradley Thompson's a lawyer at Epstein, Beck & Green. He focuses on the FDA approval process.
I think there's a good bit of ambiguity right now about which these apps require FDA clearance. And I think a lot of people are scratching their heads trying to figure that out.
Johnson & Johnson's working on an app that would connect iPhones belonging to diabetics to their glucose monitors. And others believe an app for ultrasound is possible. But the FDA is watching. It's already forced some firms to pull their medical apps down if they're unproven or make claims the companies can't back up. And one company that makes an app for radiologists so they can view images on iPhones was asked to test the technology in full-blown clinical trials. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. This is Future Tense.